Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining Tuesday Stand Up. Today is April 5th, and this is the beginning of a three-part series on continence management. I am pleased to welcome Michelle Christensen, Vice President of Clinical Sales and Marketing with Medline Industries, as well as Jessica Cavanaugh, Account Representative with Medline Industries. And April 5th today, our topic surrounding continence management will be linking leadership to the front line, and then I hope you'll be able to join us again April 19th to share with Michelle continence management root cause analysis. And finally, in the series, May 3rd, continence management, empowering the frontline caregiver by providing education and support. So, Michelle, thank you so much for joining us today. And at this time, I'll turn the call over to you.
Well, thank you, Anne. And thank you, everyone, for taking time out of your busy schedules to join us today. Over the next 15 minutes, we will talk about two of the toughest challenges taking place in nursing homes today, communication and managing incontinence. As those of us on the phone know, the long-term care system is a very large, complex configuration of services, and in the system, we are facing extraordinary challenges every day. The most common response to these challenges has been education and staff development, which have been viewed as ways to improve the confidence and skills of those working in our facilities. With growing numbers of residents per frontline caregiver, lower payments, and evolving regulatory standards, it is becoming increasingly more difficult to meet the quality standards that are expected. And the cost effectiveness of care is critical in today's healthcare environment. As the healthcare dollar continues to shrink, the demand for care interventions that produce the very best outcomes for the least cost continues to escalate. And in order to meet the needs of the incontinent resident today, you must work to provide evidence-based care, document your outcomes and costs, and educate your staff. Okay, so it's probably no surprise that incontinence is one of the most costly and labor-intensive tasks taking place in your facilities today. And when I say labor-intensive, this encompasses more than just changing a brief or a pull-up. It's pericare, it's toileting, it's ambulating to and from the toilet, it's changing bed linens. CNAs and other frontline caregivers are spending anywhere from 50 to 60% of their day managing incontinence. And despite years of research and clinical efforts to improve it, the prevalence of incontinence remains very high. In fact, upwards of 75% of residents are incontinent of urine, feces, or both to some degree. Another disheartening statistic is that 90% of residents become incontinent within the first 3 months of admission. And we know that a whole host of other concerns accompany incontinence as well, including increased risk for skin problems, higher rates of falls, dignity and social interaction issues for residents, and it's a greater and increasing burden on caregivers while increasing costs, especially when incontinence is poorly managed and communication is not taking place. As caregivers, we always want to provide the highest quality of care possible for our residents. When we take a closer look, most of us can usually find areas for improvement in our facilities. So that leads us to why we are all here on these calls. We all want to improve overall nursing home quality in our performances, and it all starts with communication. When we dive deeper, we can see a lack of communication has a profound effect on two major issues, CNA turnover and the ability or inability to educate staff. CNA turnover in long-term care is a big, big challenge that many of us are facing today, as it has the single greatest negative impact on resident overall bottom line. The turnover rate for CNAs in the U.S. ranges anywhere from 51 to 74% in the first year of employment. On another note, we've also conducted some research, and we know that turnover is very expensive. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor and Statistics, to replace a CNA can cost anywhere from $25,000 to $5,000. And we know that it's costing facilities in the U.S. an average of $50,000 to $240,000 annually to make up for turnover. We know that high turnover has been associated with higher levels of federal deficiencies and increased complaints filed against facilities, all of which translate into negative quality of life for all of our residents. And high turnover also affects the employees who remain with a facility. As less staff is available, those who stay are often moved from one unit to another to provide necessary coverage. And many CNAs want to establish relationships with the residents they care for. And when CNAs are moved from unit to unit or their schedules are changed to accommodate turnover, establishing and maintaining any relationships with residents is very difficult, if not impossible. So let me go back to the comment that I made about the deficiencies. In 2015, there were over 300,000 health deficiencies in nursing homes in the U.S., and a little over 57,000 of those health deficiencies make up the top 10. And I was really surprised to see that out of those top 10, those deficiencies revolve around education, providing care to maintain resident well-being, providing care with respect and dignity, competencies, training of nurse aides, and ongoing competencies in toileting. So some reasons for turnover. You know, when we talk to CNAs, we hear the same thing over and over. And the biggest reasons seem to be lack of support from leadership, lack of permanent and predictable assignments, lack of autonomy or involvement in decision making. The CNAs really want to be involved in what's taking place in their facilities. Another reason, inadequate or poor training, and then the number one reason, lack of communication. So there are a lot of things that we can do to slow down turnover and retain staff. And this all involves improving communication. And you can start by doing some very simple things. Offer consistent assignments. This will help build and strengthen the bond between you and your frontline staff, as well as strengthen the bond between the frontline staff and the resident. Provide education and programs. Frontline caregivers need to be educated. Managing incontinence is in your facility is one of your largest expenditures. Educating your staff can not only improve the quality of care and resident dignity, but reduce your spend. And supply the daily tools needed. Frontline caregivers will do whatever it takes to get through their day. If they do not have the tools or supplies they need, they will use products inappropriately and do whatever they can to make whatever they can find work. And of course, offer support. Frontline caregivers often feel as though they are not being heard or respected by their peers. Sometimes a simple acknowledgement will go a long way. And involve them in the resident's plan of care. Your frontline caregivers are spending more time with your residents than anyone else in your facility. They know more about what is happening than you think. It's extremely beneficial to bridge the communication gap between leadership, nurses, and these frontline caregivers. And of course, empowering CNAs. Empowering CNAs can be a rather ambiguous phrase. Many leaders are unsure what constitutes empowering CNAs. Two ways to empower them is to open up the lines of communication and educate them. The more they learn, the more empowered they will feel. The more you talk to them, the more respected and included they will feel. And leaders can sometimes become distanced from the front line. It's not uncommon. This distancing can be detrimental to the management of incontinence in a facility and can deeply impact employee perception and support. So we always want to listen. Create clear mechanisms for soliciting ideas, input, and requests for resources, and then consider all of these requests and the input that we've received, and then work on providing those resources. Provide the staff with the training or education in primary areas of concern. Provide tools and products to help the CNAs do their jobs efficiently and effectively, and make sure that they have the tools that will help them improve outcomes. And make communication a priority. Clear, constant communication at all levels will help with continence management. Consider having a team examine the current information flow in your facility and pull together a new communication plan that encompasses communication at multiple levels. Look at an accurate organizational chart for your facility and consider all the places information flows within and outside of the organizational chart. So you're going to want to take a look at how communication flows within and around all units and staff, all the residents, and even families, and encourage feedback. I know many of us on the phone have probably said to ourselves, I wish CNAs would bring up continence management issues and discuss solutions more often. Getting CNAs to give constructive feedback or raise issues can be quite challenging, and it may take a little trial and error to have a workable system in place. And there are a few ways that you can approach this, but of course you may develop some ideas on your own, but some suggestions. Provide a clear, safe venue for all CNAs to share positive and negative feedback. Consider systems that can safely solicit concerns. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this in part two of the root cause analysis on April 19th. It is essential to engage in understanding continence management issues faced by the frontline staff and to help them solve the problems. When management activities hit a stumbling block, it's useful to gather those individuals that are involved and guide them through the issues to help them problem solve. Remember to use each stumbling block as a learning opportunity to evaluate the situation and provide a solution. And involve your CNAs. Your CNAs play a pivotal role in the success of continence management. Facilities who directly involve their CNAs in continence management plans have been more successful than facilities that have not. Do some rounds and talk one-on-one with the CNAs. Ask them how things are going. Really, just by talking to them, you're going to find out so much information. Not only will you be well-informed about what the CNAs are doing, you may find that you can find one or two CNAs to become coaches and mentors for new staff members as they come into your facilities. This will increase the level of staff excitement and support for improving practices and a much greater likelihood of success as it pertains to managing incontinence. And finally, a famous quote by George Bernard Shaw, the biggest problem with communication is the illusion that it has taken place. And with that, I will turn it back over to Anne for final questions.
Wonderful. Thank you, Michelle. To everyone on the line, are there any questions or comments for Michelle? All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us. And just as a gentle reminder, please stay tuned. In 2 weeks, April 19th, Michelle will join us back again for continence management, and the next series topic will be root cause analysis. So, Michelle, thank you so much, and the recording will be posted on the Leading Age Maryland website within the Education and Events tab. Have a great day, everyone, and thanks for your time. Bye.